We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Gresh and Keith
on WEEI.
Seabold throws and a swing and a drive into center field. Bradley back on it at the track at the wall. It's gone. Here's the 2-2. Swing and a drive into center field. Jackie back at the track. Jackie at the wall. It's gone.
Here's the pitch and it swung on a drive to left field. Way back. This one is long gone. Here it is. And he swings it. It's one high to right center field. Zimmer moving back in front of the track. Has it lined up. Makes the catch. And the ball game is over, and so is the Red Sox 7-game win streak.
Oh, the sounds of last night. Oh, my God, it's over. Strychnine, please. Sean McDonough on the call tonight with Joey C, the big cheese.
Okay.
I guess Will Fleming will nomadically roam around Toronto while the game is going on.
Oh, no, he'll be at the game,
Out in Squid Square where they all gather to watch the Maple Leafs lose at a high level.
A lot of sad Leafs
first
fans.
Round every year.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be one of those where Will be there just blending in with a bunch of people watching the I figure he's sitting in. So we'll have to ask him what he does on the old off day. Oh, actually, I won't be here on Friday to ask him. So I'll have to leave the question behind. Right. We can play
I'll
it.
Ask.
I would assume he's sitting in the stands doing scorebook.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because he would go old school. He wouldn't rely on some fancy computer to do it.
God, no.
Could you score a baseball game if you needed to?
Yes, I could.
I definitely could not.
I for sure could.
I think I could figure it out.
Yeah.
When's the last time you did one, though? I was going to say you made it sound like you kind of memorized how to, it's like you're a great bowler and you just got to throw a couple frames and you're good.
So we kept stats on a slow pitch softball team that I was on.
Mother of God.
Yeah, we kept stats.
What year was this? Or was this early 20s at least?
Yeah.
Mid
20s.
It wasn't your 30s, right?
No, I don't
think
so.
Like when you started to have a little pride?
I've never had pride. That's not what this is about. But
tell me there's something of you dropping and pointing to the sky winning a softball championship like those people in the Westerly Sun.
I did tear my hamstring playing slow pitch softball.
That's a talent, by the way.
That's where I was like, all right, I need to probably check out of this. But no, so we would somebody would pass the book around, like if you were in classes, just to keep track. And then in high school, somebody would be passing it around. So I could definitely do it. I wouldn't. I don't see the joy in it. Like every once in a while you'll see people doing it like at Fenway, and I'm like, I'm good. You can check the, internet box score. They do a pretty good job as well. But I could do it.
It's like knowing how to score bowling without the gizmo to do it for you.
Uh-huh.
Like I could do that.
Where it gets really chaotic is if a team bats around in an inning and then I'm like, now what do I do with all these extra spaces? And then that's the whole thing.
And you're throwing off it's a big mess. So the second round of All-Star voting has been released. And the Red Sox have no players leading any categories. So I guess this is a bit of a chicken or the egg discussion, right?
Right.
Is this a perception problem that the Red Sox have, that they don't have any great players other than maybe one in Devers, who is the only guy close who's in second in the voting at third base behind Jose Ramirez? Or is this just an indicator that the All-Star game is trash and it means nothing?
Well, I don't know if it's – I don't think it's trash. Like, I think, first of all, it means a lot to the players that do go. Baseball is obviously a little bit different. Like, you have to have a representative from every team, and, like, that's different than the other sports and stuff like that. And usually it's very much like all these sports. It's a popularity contest for the starters, and then it's probably the guys that really earned it, with the players or the coaches kind of fill out the rest of the roster. But I think typically we're used to seeing a lot of the Red Sox at the top because they are one of the more popular teams.
Right.
And – So I don't know if it's just a little bit of the fatigue on that, or it's just not as important to Red Sox fans. Not that they're not listening to the games and watching the games and going to the games. It's just that it's not the most important thing anymore. Whereas for years, it kind of felt like it was. Like, remember when they introduced, like, the last vote and that thing? I think one year Johnny Damon won it, and it was, like, a big deal for Red Sox fans to vote in their guys. But they have probably three players that are deserving of it, right? Because when you look at all the different positions, like, oh, they don't have a first baseman. Like, no, they shouldn't. Bobby Dalbec actually has the eighth most votes, which is outrageous.
Right.
I mean, that's
pretty
stupid.
Crazy.
And, like, they obviously don't deserve to have a catcher or a second baseman. But Devers, who is neck and neck with Jose Ramirez, who's also a great player. The one that is a little surprising is Bogarts is third.
Yep.
But, I mean, Bo Bichette, Tim Anderson are both pretty popular players. And then J.D. Martinez is fourth. But J.D. Martinez is also at a position where Yordan Alvarez and Shohei Ohtani are on the ballot. So that's kind of
I can cut some slack
that.
For yeah. Ohtani-san. However, it would be like a shock if David Ortiz wasn't the guy who
right,
was like
Ortiz
leading leading a designated hitter. And again, that leads me to the, like, was it more the popularity Ortiz, or is there just fan apathy, or do people look at J.D. Martinez and be like, yeah, he's just another guy? You know, I think you could argue there's a little bit of both, because I know you and I differ on the whole All-Star game thing just in terms of the importance. And I agree with you that to the players, and some of them are incentivized
that
they, you know, you pick up another $100,000 if you make the All-Star team. It's pretty cool. But it feels like Red Sox fans aren't showing out right now, even for the guys who deserve it. Like, it's interesting. You organically said, well, they don't have anybody at second base. When everybody keeps saying, well, Trevor Story should be the All-Star for second baseman, he's fifth in voting.
Yeah, he's fifth. No, but, well, yeah, he's new to the team.
So
right?
There might be some of that, but, like, I think it used to be for a lot of people, it would be, well, what do the stats tell me?
Well,
like,
yeah.
You go to the Agate page, or you used to go to the Agate page of the newspaper, and you'd see where the stats are, and you'd fill out your little, you know, dot, dot, dot test whenever you got to the ballpark.
That was always fun. As
now
a kid,
it's all,
was,
see,
yeah, I like that.
I miss that.
I thought that was great. You could grab your ballot, you grab your little pencil, your little golf pencil, and you get to work.
It was pretty cool.
I always loved that as a kid. I mean, the All-Star game for kids really should be the best. Like, whether it's the home run derby or whatever else, it's really a kid-centric thing. But
do you think this is the byproduct of interleague play? That people are just like, yeah, whatever.
A
like, there's no more novelty to it anymore?
Interleague play is definitely going to hurt it a little bit. But if I asked you, who are the most popular teams, or which fan bases have the most fans in the American League, wouldn't you say Yankees, Red Sox?
Yeah,
and
automatically.
There's one Yankee or Red Sox that is currently in a position to start, and that's Aaron Judge.
Well, I was just going to say.
So,
like,
I think,
like, if Aaron Judge isn't on there, then it's a whole, what are we doing?
If anything, you're seeing how important it is to the Blue Jay fan. Like, the Blue Jay fan, they have the number one catcher, the number one first baseman, the number two second baseman, the number three third baseman, the top shortstop, and one of the top three outfielders. So the Toronto Blue Jay fan apparently is taking it very seriously, because you have two different fans that vote.
Yep.
You have the one that just votes for all their own guys. Like, oh, I'm a Blue Jay fan, I'm voting for 9 Blue Jays.
That's the honk.
Or they sit there and they say, I'm going to actually think about it for a second and vote for who I think are the best, most deserving players.
What did you do as a kid?
Most deserving. I 100%.
It was the really?
Guy, yeah, the guys that I liked / most deserving. I never stuffed it with all Red Sox.
Yeah, ever. Like, for me, the heyday of, like, going to the ballpark and doing that would have been, like, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
When I know, like, those Pirate teams that I used to follow, they were loaded. They had, like, Bonds and Bonilla and all these guys.
So, I mean,
who you think would be in the All-Star team.
I'm
so you're
for
right.
Griffey. Like, I was definitely voting for Griffey and, like, Ricky Henderson.
There
and
you go.
Like that.
And see, that's where I wonder that's where I wonder about the popularity of the player versus just the we as fans think All-Star games are kind of played out.
Who do you think the most popular player in baseball is? Well, let's keep it to the American League.
Well, I was going to say, I think automatically it's Mike Trout. Because for a lot of people, he is the Mickey Mantle of this generation.
So he has a ton of votes, but Aaron Judge has the most votes so far. So I think that has to do with New York combined with being a great player and putting up crazy numbers. He could hit 60 dingers this year.
Do you think it's the ding dong that's got him?
I think it's definitely the long ball, and it's where it is. And Mike Trout has no personality at all. So it was so much easier for Ken Griffey Jr. or Manny Ramirez or one of those guys to be sort of the centerpiece of the All-Star game. Mike Trout's just an awesome player, and that's great. That's nice. But at least, like, Bryce Harper kind of does it with a certain style. And Bryce Harper, he could have an entertaining interview.
There's an aura around Bryce Harper makes him a superstar.
Yeah, he's a robot. And you're like, that's fine. You know, he's not hurting anybody, but he's not really making you all that interested other than, wow, his WAR and his OPS are off the charts. Like, that's kind of what it is with Mike Trout. So he deserves all the votes that he's getting, but you could see how there is still this, like, desperation to get some more big personalities in the game. And I think there's some, I mean, you know...
Right, exactly.
I mean, I think maybe more naturally, like Fernando Tatis and guys like that, but Shohei Ohtani.
No, but think about it. And you mentioned Ken Griffey Jr., right?
Yeah.
So even though we were on the East Coast, we weren't bitching that, oh boy, Ken Griffey starts at 10 o'clock every night. You knew what Ken Griffey, even if you woke up in the morning, it was what a Griffey
game. Oh, I remember going as a kid, going to a game at Fenway, and it was a Griffey game, and it was like the coolest thing in the world. Like, I got to see Griffey in person.
What was it? I remember when A-Rod first came up, I remember what it is now, because I would have been in college at this time, so it would have been 93, 4, or 4, 5, something like that.
Yep.
When the Kingdome partially collapsed,
right?
And Seattle played a series here at Fenway, and they did the unthinkable. It was like $10 tickets.
Yeah, that's
so you could just, right? I know.
Not
think
a great
of it now,
Sox
right?
team that year. Yeah.
So it's like mid-90s, and I remember going to a game, and there was Ken Griffey Jr., and then A-Rod had just gotten called up, and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
And you knew of those guys.
Yes.
But if you ask the average fan right now, give me the best player on the Seattle Mariners, or give me the best player on the Oakland A's, where when you and I grew up, the A's were loaded with all-stars.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, that's where it's like, wow, West Coast bias, yeah, but if you have a superstar that people really want to watch, they're very aware of them.
Well, the other thing is, and it's tough to really grasp it now, but you need to do like a 10-year snapshot, whereas in 10 years from now, you look back at who started in the All-Star game and how many of those guys are still going to be relevant or still going to be big names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go back to the rosters from 95, there might be, like, a random guy or two who you're like, oh, he was an All-Star? But then other than that, it's guys that just were powerhouses. You know, that's why the 99 All-Star game, for example, when Pedro Martinez struck out all those guys at the beginning of the game, it was insane because it was McGuire and Bonds and Sosa. Even freaking Barry Larkin's a Hall of Famer. Like, that the lineup was so good.
It feels like those days are gone, though, doesn't it?
So, I don't know. Is it just because we're older, or are they gone?
Well, I don't think I got two youngs in my house are very, if there's live sports on, cripes, they're watching soccer yesterday. I wanted to hang myself.
Well,
I felt terrible, and I come downstairs, and they got communist football on. But I've never had either of those two be like, boy, I got to vote for the All-Star game. How do I vote for the All-Star team? Hey, I pulled up the 2015.
Years ago.
So 7 years ago.
All right.
Here's what it was. Elected starters.
All right.
Sal Perez of the Royals.
Sal Perez. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sal Perez.
Miggy Cabrera.
Yep, stud, Hall of Famer.
Who was making his, like, 10th All-Star appearance. Altuve at second.
Probably a Hall of Famer.
Josh Donaldson at third.
Good player.
Alcides Escobar.
Yeah, that's not going to stand the test of time.
Trout. Okay. Lorenzo Cain.
Also, he burned hot.
So did Alex Gordon, by the way.
Yeah.
And then Nelson Cruz. But is the DH...
Alex Gordon and Nelson Cruz. So that was a year where the Royals were just obsessed. They had a good Royals year, so the Royals got voted in.
Alex Gordon made it as an outfielder.
So that's kind of garbage. That is kind of garbage, actually. I mean, Miguel Cabrera and Mike Trout, like, every year
you're
going to have a couple of ridiculous guys. So here's the 95 All-Star game.
Oh, my God. American League?
Yeah, you want American League All-Stars.
All right, I'm gonna guess around the diamond. Pudge.
95. Yep, Pudge. Yep.
Jim Thom or Frank Thomas at
Frank
first?
Frank Thomas.
It would have been, second Billy.
Robbie Alomar.
You know what? I'm surprised it wasn't Robbie Alomar. Maybe he was hurt, but it was a guy that played, a guy in the Indians.
I know. I'm trying to
remember. Fernandez?
No.
Oh, he was
Carlos Baerga.
Oh, Baerga.
But that's one where I don't know where Alomar was that
year.
That
would have been right before he got traded to the Mets.
Oh, Robbie Alomar was, he came off the bench, so Baerga got voted
okay.
in.
And then Vizquel probably, if Baerga got in. You think Vizquel got in?
No, Cal Ripken was still playing short that
year. Oh, okay. Well,
so
then
Cal Ripken
third.
Wade Boggs. Your outfield was Albert Bell, Ken Griffey Jr., and Kirby Puckett, and your DH was Edgar Martinez. So what is that, 7 Hall of Famers? Eight?
Man.
Might be eight Hall of Famers,
maybe,
actually.
No,
by Eric Arbell.
You know what? Maybe we've just answered our own question as to the quality. Because here's, this is just for 2015, because I don't know what the National League group looked like.
I got that, too.
But in 2015, it was Buster Posey. He's a Hall of Fame catcher.
Yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt.
He's
ran
awesome.
Hot. Yeah. Awesome.
No, he's good. He might be a Hall of Famer.
D. Gordon at second.
Nope.
Todd Frazier at third.
Nope.
Johnny Peralta at short.
Good Lord.
Bryce Harper, Matt Holliday, and then Giancarlo Stanton.
So I would say Bryce Harper, Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Or probably will be. The other two guys, maybe not.
Mike Stanton,
maybe
whatever.
Stanton by the end of it.
Right.
Real quick, NL 95. Mike Piazza, Fred McGriff, Craig Biggio, Matt Williams, Ozzie Smith, Barry Bonds, Lenny Dykstra, and Tony Gwynn.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like
it's
out of 18 guys, it's like 14 Hall of Famers.
So now I understand why we romanticized about it and loved it much more back then
better.
Because there's some
out.
Ham and Eggers in some of these all-star teams. However, Red Sox fans, get your ass out and vote. Actually, you don't even have to get out and vote. Go to your computer and type it in. How do you vote? And it'll tell you how to do it. And if you got a bunch of different email addresses for your Twitter accounts, you can vote a bunch of different times. You have different email addresses.
That's right.
Exactly. Because Raffy Devers needs your vote. At least get him in for one.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Just get him in for one. By the way, Red Sox Talk on Gresh and Keefe is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Book your appointment today to begin your weight loss journey. Awaken180weightloss.com. I know Keefe and Fitzy touched on this. Julian Edelman maybe coming back.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Now that I've taken a year off and like I'm not loading my body, compounding loads every single day, my body feels pretty straight, you know? And, you know, I've gone and dabbled out and, you know, you go run routes and, but then you see when you run routes the next day, like, all right, I'm not too bad, but I'm already like 10,000 reps behind, I feel, in my mind.
Stop! Don't get sucked in, Edelman. You ain't coming back. Your body can feel great. This is the...
So I don't think he's coming back either, but let me ask you a question.
This is the part, Edelman, that drives me nuts.
Why is he running routes?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just out there running around, playing with a kid, something like that. Maybe he's coaching a high school. I have no idea.
So after you stopped playing football in college.
In 1995 was my last year.
Let's say hypothetically.
By middle of 96, I was 420.
Okay. So not the best example. But let's say hypothetically you wanted to stay in shape. And so maybe you would go to the gym and you'd work out, but you wouldn't be hitting the tackling dummies and doing all this. Like, you would, this, you don't need that anymore. And so that's the one thing Fitzy and I yesterday were trying to figure out is, all right, there are plenty of ways if you're Edelman to stay in shape, but you don't need to run any more slants. You don't need to run any more goes or outs. You don't need to do that. So the fact that he's doing that is kind of... First of all, is he doing that, or is he just saying that he's doing that because it gets people talking about him? And everybody wants to stay relevant, so I guess I kind of get
it. Okay, this is just a pure hunch on my part, but if, say, Edelman lives in the California area, which he does, and there's a good game of catch going on.
Oh, he'll go play catch.
Yeah. I would think so, that if somebody's working out, like say Matt Stafford is flinging the bean around needs all over L.A., right? And he just needs a guy, or it's, hey, why don't you come join us? Like, you could see a pro.
I thought his knee was so shot, though, that he couldn't.
Yeah, I thought so, too. But then again, this is exactly why I'm not going to fall for this trap from Julian Edelman. Yeah. Because bone on listen, last time I checked, I'm not a doctor.
No.
However, I think you have an issue. I've met a couple. No, but seriously, like, the bone on bone isn't going to get better.
I feel like he and Pedroia.
You
are
can
the two guys
send Viscid up all you want and get those injections
Run
in your knee.
Run some dirt on it.
It ain't gonna work.
The guy's had a great career. Had a hell of a career. It's done.
But do you think it's that a little bit too? He's not that old. Like if his knee...
Oh, like in real life old.
Yeah, but
like in football old he is.
Do you think if his knee was even... If it wasn't bone on bone, but it was degeneratively getting bad... Don't you get the sense that a guy like Edelman, regardless of whether Brady was around or not, and maybe Mac is a part of this, I don't know, but don't you think that guy would keep grinding and keep going? Because it's just who he is.
Edelman would play forever. He would play forever if he could.
Foxborough forever.
Foxborough forever. And whether or not it's in Foxborough, I mean, he says that it would be. I think he'd play forever. He's the classic play till the wheels fall off guy, and the wheels have fallen off. That's what it is. Like, he got the most out of it. He got the most. He got more than he should have gotten out of his career. But he's 36. So even if he was super healthy, how many 36-year-old wide receivers do anything? With the exception of, like, Jerry Rice at the end, or maybe Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And even then, you can tell that, like, 36, especially on a guy who relies on his quickness.
On speed and quickness. And playing in the slot where I don't care what era of football it is, you're still getting smoked.
Yeah. So it's not happening. But, you know, if he wants to talk about it, hey, people are going to listen to him.
And I do think that Mac being here might make him look and be like, hey, I already know that offense, da-da-da. But you now have different offensive coaches who, as we mentioned earlier, are taking the F out of the offense. No more fullback. Yeah. So how would they reconcile that? I wonder how many three wide receiver sets you'd run where you'd try to make Edelman the focus.
Would the Patriots want him if he was, let's say, 70% of what he was? Because there's no chance you're getting anywhere near the best version. Because that's a no-brainer. Of course you would take the best version of him. But if he's not, and... Let's say, yeah, maybe he's a little better than Myers, but not significantly better. Like, would he fit on this team right now?
Well, I think he would, but the danger would be where I don't think either side would commit. It's the, hey, Julian, even if you're 70% of you, you're still playing X amount of snaps. And if you're then New England and you're like, hey, we got Edelman back, slots back, here we go, let's start counting on it. And two games in,
that's the concern,
he goes sideways, then you got a real problem there. I think that Mac Jones is at the point, at least in terms of his, what's the best way to say this? We mentioned Brady was insane. Like, I wouldn't go that far with Mac, but his wackadoonness, let's say.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would be like, hey, want to give me a slot receiver?
He'll
like, I'll adapt that mentally real quick and we can get him involved.
Yep.
I just don't know if you can count on the guy. And the other thing, too, is, and I hope if he's listening, he doesn't get his feelings hurt or anything, but do you want his presence on the football team right now, considering we are fully into the post-Brady era down there?
Yeah, right. You've moved on from that. Although you still have James White here, and James White was a big part of some of those late end Brady teams.
But nowhere near the personality that Edelman was, right?
Right, like,
and even D-Mac, he's a connection, but
Yeah.
We've all come to respect him and realize that he's a bit different.
No, that's why I feel like if he was going to come back, honestly, it'd be in Tampa. And I know he said Foxborough forever, but I feel like he would go there. And I'd have no hard feelings. But like, this guy gave you everything he possibly had. And it's almost like, you know what, go somewhere else. Go try to win down there. You know, like when Pierce and Garnett left here, when they traded him, you're like, all right, go ahead. You did what you could here. You had a hell of a career here. Go play somewhere else. I'll still root for you. It's not going to be the same weird feelings that we had with Gronk and with Brady and how that all unfolded. With Edelman, it's like, you were great while you were here. Go ahead if you want. If you think you have something left in the tank, which, again, I don't think that he does.
Plus, it's the lore of Brady, right? Yeah. He picks up the phone, and there's very much a ex-girlfriend element to it. You know, the one you knew in college you had crazy sex with, and then you're single, they're single. All of a sudden, there's a call or a DM, and you're like, okay.
Right back.
Let's go. Right. One more time, and then it's two more times. And then the next thing you know, you're kind of pot committed. Then you realize why you broke up in the first place.
Oh, God, I hate your guts.
But I could see Edelman doing the, oh, yeah, I'll come down there for the final four games and then maybe go on a playoff run. Well, I totally see it.
I don't know. We should maybe make predictions, but I would say week 7, the Bucs either lose or they have a game where the offense doesn't do very well. And he calls both Gronk and Edelman, gauges how healthy they are and everything else, and tries to get them both in there.
Who gets the first call?
Gronk. Because Gronk's already done it, and he's probably healthier than Edelman is. And he was on the team for the last 2 years. So I think Gronk gets the first call. Or he might do one of those silly three-way calls and get all three of those guys on the old FaceTime.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Or maybe they can play around with Vrabel at a basketball game or
do
something
that
like
crap.
That yep. too. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, though, which one would be more likely to kind of succumb to it? Like, I feel like that even if Edelman couldn't play, if Brady still leaned on him, Edelman would talk himself into playing because his level of hero worship to Tom Brady, I don't think, even though Chris Curtis, I think, would make the sex with Tom Brady, and he's talked about how he loves Tom Brady.
Sure he would.
I still think Julian Edelman is the bigger Tom Brady mark than even Chris Curtis.
But you know what? You might be right, but Edelman also has such respect for Belichick. I think he loves Belichick as much, if not more, than any other player ever.
Interesting.
So I think with Gronk, he's already gone through the I've played for another team. He never said Foxborough forever. He never made that claim, Foxborough forever.
He never did. Nope.
He never did that. Edelman did. I think Edelman would come back, and I think he'd be open to it again if physically he could, and he would love to play with Brady again. But I think it would take him a little bit of time to actually go through the process of, okay, I'm going to suit up for another team after 12 seasons or whatever it was in New England.
Is Julian Edelman still flinging those JE11 burgers around? Remember the period
Burger
of time?
Time?
Oh,
the burger time was great.
It was right when Tom Brady had like TB12 or it just started. And then it was, I got to do the JE11 burgers and it had the big thing on the side of the box and stuff like that. I felt like that ran hot for maybe like a year. And then
you
can
imagine you make a ton of money off of that, but you know.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, perhaps. Selling what? Gourmet burgers or selling veggie burgers or something like that?
I mean,
come on now. What are we doing? By the way, Dork Podcast was last night. It is up at weei.com for download in podcast form. You can also go to the Dork Podcast YouTube page. What did you guys do last night?
Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Star Wars Disney Plus series, which ended last week. So Davey and I discussed it last night. You can
did
check
that
it out
stink in the end?
For me, it did.
Yep. Wait, Dave, you liked it?
Liked it more than me, but I wouldn't say he liked it a lot.
Did you give it a 3? Was it right in the middle, or did you go lower?
I did 2.5 out of 6.
2.5?
Yeah.
Oh, it's out of 6 now?
Well, 6 stones. That's the dork. That's the official dork scale.
Didn't know. So, I figured you were like Dave Meltzer, the wrestling guy, giving 5 stars, all that
Everything
stuff.
Out of 6 stones.
Wow, so it didn't get into the 50th percentile,
I really didn't like it.
Wow.
I didn't like it.
Wow. Did you finish watching that too? Are you and
yeah,
you
John
were rich
liked
on
it
that?
More. No, John liked it.
I liked it. I acknowledge the issues, but I'm a fanboy. So, okay.
All right. So at least you admit it, Billy. I'm assuming you're like me. Didn't even watch it.
Right? Didn't watch it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
There's a room of 10 people at Disney who control my life, and it's through Star Wars movies. So
we had like the live chat yesterday was very split on it too. Like we had people that said 5 out of 6, people that said 2, 3, 4.
Oh, so it's all over the map.
Yeah, it's very all over.
Did
the map
it seem very black or white? People just didn't like it, or they loved it? Like John, big fanboy.
Well, they're the fanboy, and then trying to like defend certain aspects of it, and then other thing, I was like, no. Like, out of 5 hours of the show, I think I loved 5 minutes of it.
Is this considered a major missed opportunity by Disney on this? Will it turn people off?
Well, no, I don't know. Like, they've built up so much goodwill, and they have so many projects that I think people are just, like me, I'm just going to watch the next one. Like, oh, I didn't like this one. Then the next one's going to come out.
People love the character enough that,
yeah.
And the big dichotomy really was that there was basically two storylines in the show. One of them I thought was really good, and one of them I was like, whatever. And for some people, the whatever one really just like annihilated the show. But for the most part, the part that was good, most people are like, okay, it was at least good.
All right, fair enough. All right, there you go. So there's your breakdown. Check it out, Dork Podcast, WEEI.com. Download it right into the device of your choice. By the way, also download the Odyssey app and favorite WEEI because you might be listening in your car wherever you are. Well, you got to get out. You got stuff to do. Bring some headphones. Pop it in. Odyssey app. Listen to WEEI wherever you go. There's never a reason to miss anything with Gresh and Kiefer, anything here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Mike Reese had the nugget of Raekwon McMillan. There's a part of me for the Wu-Tang references that wants him to play well.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the part of me that is like, well, this guy's leading the linebacker core now. Kind of makes you realize sort of where you're at. And isn't this one of those, this is the truest version of In Bill We Trust. Like, if you're buying into Raekwon McMillan,
right,
at least right now, it's because of the hype and what people are telling you versus what you're seeing, let alone that guy being the leader. Because if you're going to be the leader, unless you're a vested veteran like a Dante Hightower, where everybody knows you were great and they'll listen to you because you've done it. But if you're no different than Mac Wilson or any other young guy, you're going to have to really stand out to be the leader of this linebacker group to be the guy that people listen to.
I think it's the biggest swing kind of position on the entire team, as we don't really know what to expect out of it. Everybody else, you have sort of like a ballpark, like, all right, here's how, you know, the running backs will do, or here's how the offensive line will do. The linebackers, just go back 2 months ago during the draft. A lot of us wanted them to take a linebacker in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't do that, maybe in the second round. And then they didn't take one in any round.
And the one we liked went to the third round.
And then he even fell. So, like, they had three chances to get him or two chances to get him, and they didn't do it. You're like, all right, well, they obviously don't feel like it's a big need. And we'll see how they you know, go about their defensive formations. There may not even be a lot of linebackers on the field.
That's,
it might be a big part of
that's
it.
That's my guess.
I'm still a little concerned because, remember, last year as we went into camp and then as the preseason unfolded, everybody down there told us, watch out for Josh Uche. Mm-hmm. Big Josh Uche season. It was not a big Josh Uche season. So
he was better than Winovich, but ain't saying much.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know what to expect. Like, my gut says it's not going to be a great linebacker group. And it wasn't a great linebacker group last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like they were just one step too slow and they were a little old. And the one guy that actually played pretty well was Kyle Van Noy, and he's gone. So you're left with a bunch of new faces and, you know, you hope this isn't the Chad Brown, Monty Beisel year where they had to get new linebackers. They spent money in free agency on those two. They were both duds, and then you had to figure it out after that. So,
all-time Monty Beisel moment, telling Stacey James, I know PR, and this isn't PR. Remember that?
I know PR.
He's like yelling at Stacey because somebody was asking him a tough question because he stunk.
He was really bad. They were terrible. Like, that's the low point, and I would assume these guys are going to be better than that, but you don't really know. Like, Mac Wilson got sent away from Cleveland. Like, they were like, we can't use him. Like, he's not very good. And then the other guy, like, nobody has really shined yet. And they've had a bunch of young guys who have been essentially redshirted. Like, I don't know what to expect out of Ronnie Perkins or Anfernee Jennings.
Well, and is Ronnie Perkins really a linebacker? Or does he project much more to be another one of those, like, Uche defensive end type guys where they're more of an edge player than they are a linebacker? I think the linebacker, compared to what we're used to, there might be one on the field a lot of times, but that gaggle of safeties, a lot of people are pumping up Kyle Duggar. I saw that, like, I forget who it was. It was either like Giardi or Breer or somebody had an AFC coach who said, hey, keep an eye out on that guy. He's playing up. He's playing better. He's aggressive, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. It feels like the best linebacker on the roster might be actually listed as a safety in Kyle Duggar.
Right, yeah, exactly. And that's why you know they love their safeties, and they're going to be Phillips and McCourty and Duggar are going to be on the field a ton.
A ton.
So, yeah.
And then how do they work in Jabril Peppers as well? Like,
yeah, right.
That becomes sort of a matchup thing, but do they look at Peppers the same way they do Duggar? Might Duggar grab some of the linebacker snaps because you have Phillips and Peppers to be able to mix a little bit?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty...
There's something going on there
that
we're going to be talking about, like, 3 weeks into the year and being like, okay, now we see what they're doing at linebacker.
It's going to be fascinating on the Jerod Mayo aspect of it because he's now going to be coaching a defense that may not even really have his position, essentially.
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. You're right, because the evolution of, I mean, he was always in there, was always middle linebacker, and now you
got to tweak it. And not that he can't do it, but it's just different. Like that experience that he had, you're going to have to kind of change it a little bit with sort of not just the modern NFL, but the personnel that they have on the roster.
A question for the group, as I know that guys like Jake Paul and people like that are trying to look for other fights. Any interest in seeing 38-year-old Adrian Peterson box 30-year-old Le'Veon Bell?
Risky. That's a ridiculous question.
I don't think I do.
This is
I don't think I have interest
so
in that.
Adrian,
should I?
Adrian Peterson is a Hall of Fame running back.
Right.
He'll waltz. He's a first ballot guy. He will, I think, waltz into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Le'Veon Bell, one of the bigger business idiots in NFL history, cost himself tens of millions of dollars.
He burned hot, though. He had a hell of a career.
For 3 years, he was great.
He was amazing.
And then he goes into the world of bad business. Costs himself money, ends up a New York Jet. He's like the Kyrie Irving of the NFL in a way.
Didn't go great.
Overvalued himself. But these guys in a ring?
And then what, the winner gets Frank Gore? Like, what's going on? All these running backs just want to fight now?
That's interesting. God,
if there was some sort of, like, history of beef between the two, I'd be for it. Like, if Cortland Finnegan and Andre Johnson did this, I would 1,000% watch this. As far as I know, there's no history between Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson. They weren't even on the field at the same time.
It's like Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. Weren't those two guys the ones
going? Like, that's one I would watch.
I'd watch that fight.
My mindset is to win. Damn right. It is, Aqib.
I would watch. Or like Draymond Green, Kendrick Perkins, with what's going on with those two guys.
That's a fight I would watch.
Yeah, there's no blood feud here. So it's just, all right, two running backs that probably are pretty tough guys, but can they box?
Yeah. Lanny, you're a fight guy.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, okay.
Is it free?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
If I don't have to pay for it, why the hell wouldn't I watch it?
I assume it's going to be tagged on to one of those pay-per-views, so you might get five fights, and that might be one of them.
Oh, it's true. Jake Paul's fighting
Tommy Fury
in August, so it might be there.
And who was it that just I saw the other day came out? It wasn't Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury made a $1 million bet with Jake Paul on that fight, and even hit him with the, I don't even know if you have $1 million. Like, he said that to Jake Paul, because Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury
in his last fight, because they filled Wembley, I think he made like 45 or 50 million just on that fight alone.
Yeah, but so do you know how much money Jake Paul has?
I know. He's got some dough. There's no question. So they're kind of breaking balls on that. But there was somebody else in the fight game who was like, boy, I hope Tommy Fury pulls out. Oh, Chael Sonnen. Hope Tommy Fury pulls out so that they get a third round with Tyron Woodley fighting whichever Paul brother and puts him on pay-per-view.
Ridiculous. Yeah, but so I don't know why these guys are all going down that road, but it doesn't grab me.
Perk Draymond would be the biggest one in the NBA.
100%.
What would, though, other than, say, Peterson and Le'Veon Bell, be the biggest NFL fight, let's say? That's a tough one.
Tom Brady, Roger Goodell.
Eli Apple versus any wide receiver that was chirping him all of the playoff run.
There is some of that. Yeah, I do think Eli Apple.
Odell versus the kicking net.
Yeah, you can see that'd be on the undercard.
Maybe Deshaun Watson against the owner of the Texans or someone from the Texans organization.
McNair. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, they'd have to go Caserio. They'd have to send Caserio in on that one.
Get him in there, or Easterby.
Because the wrong reverend ain't going to be fighting nobody. No. It's against the word of the Lord.
No, true.
And Cal is too old, and he's like, I got to fight these lawsuits, so they'd send the other guy in there.
This is old and kind of niche, but Jim Schwartz versus Todd Haley. Remember they almost like killed each other at center field once?
Schwartz seems like a
250-year-old guys nutbag. In there. Yeah, doing their
Maybe
thing.
Maybe 10 years ago would have been better.
That'd be fantastic.
What about Russell Westbrook versus fans?
Ooh.
Just let him pummel a few fans just to make him feel better.
How many fans would line up to try to?
Was he the one who Brett Kiesel's cousin was clapping at in Utah?
Yes. Every fan
so
goes
why don't
after
you get Brett
Westbrook
Kiesel versus Russell Westbrook then.
I'd watch that.
Someone said, I'm stopping to do my yard to listen to this. So apparently us booking a half-assed pay-per-view with
throw
together a $24.95er, and there we go. Maybe we can make some money on this. Go do it ourselves. Well, we're going to try to win you some money in the primetime parlay. Good luck to us. That's next.
WEEI.
I love EEI, man.
WEEI.
WEEI.
New England
Sports Original.
Now, more of Gresh and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
It's time for the Gresh and Keefe Primetime Parlay.
This is free money.
Watch the games on TV tonight and make free cash.
Give us your money.
Courtesy of Slim Whitman and Fat Eddie.
Thank you so much, Gresh and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Absolutely, Gresh. Thanks, man. Thanks, Keefe. Have a good one.
All right, here we go on the old primetime parlay there.
Let's get it.
Get back up on the horse once again and try to help you win some money. I mentioned to Keith, somebody sent in a text that you'd watch some of these projected garbage fights, yet you give Obi-Wan a 2.
2.5. I give it a 2.5 out of 6. And also, that's not apples to apples.
No, it's apples to shoes.
I couldn't have been more excited about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And the fact that it wasn't good, that was what was upsetting
like
to me.
You didn't like the Kenobi-Vader fight?
I liked that fight a little bit, and I liked Vader force choking people to death in episode 3.
Would Kenobi Vader be on the card?
I've ever seen. Huh?
Would it be on the card, Kenobi Vader?
Oh yeah, that would be a headline. It'd be a headline.
It'd be bigger than whatever Fury brother is fighting whatever Paul brother.
I think more people would be into it.
Disney should just book that. What are they doing? They got ESPN.
That's true.
Instead, they put Paluca 1 against guy you might know on a Tuesday night.
Tough card. Yeah, but listen, we have, unfortunately can't bet on
fake fights
yet. They're not part of the parlay yet.
Well, that's because there's really not a ton going on right now. We've hit the lean.
Baseball.
Yep.
And
special events like UFC coming up this weekend. Great pay-per-view from them. They know what they're doing. 2 title fights, by the way. And there are rumblings that Jon Jones could be back soon. We'll get to that later.
Well, we'll see.
That's why we're going to talk about it later on.
I have a lot of faith in that.
All right, because right now it is time for the Primetime Parlay. It's where we give you our 4 best picks for you to try to package them up. And for just a mere $10, I don't even know if you can get a numbered meal at a drive-thru for $10 anymore.
Everything's getting crazy.
It would be less than what we are proposing to you today.
Uh-huh.
Who would like to go first on this Tuesday Primetime Parlay? John will go first.
About me? John's got looking up at the TV right now. We've got Wimbledon going on. I see Rafael Nadal. I can't really tell what the score is, as we figured out last week. I think it's in the 3rd round.
He's winning.
And, he needs one more.
It's in the 2nd set.
Second set.
Nadal won the 1st set 6-4. He's up 3-2 second set with the advantage.
Okay.
Which
means that's what's going on there.
Scoring tennis is actually something I can do.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going women's Wimbledon tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I got Emma Raducanu -175 over Carolina Garcia. That's at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Final leg of the parlay.
I don't even want to explore.
There you go.
Why not?
Well, John's gotten like women's rugby and everything else right.
I did hit women's rugby. I didn't know it was women's rugby when I picked it. Found that out after the fact.
We just need winners, Gresh. I could care less how you
know
find
what?
Them.
Keith, you're right, friend.
That's all you need.
And from that end, I will go next.
All right.
The Yankees are very good. They're really good. In fact, so good that I think they're going to beat the Oakland A's by 2 runs or more tonight. Give me the Yankees on the run line minus that 1.5. It's even money, +100. You're giving me the Yankees, and they score, and they're playing a bad team.
Okay.
It's even money.
I like it.
Sign me up. Who's next? You or Billy?
I will go. I'm going to take a baseball game as well. Give me the local 9. Give me the Boston Red Sox money line against the Toronto Blue Jays. They are the underdog in this one.
Well, bounce back
action. So you get a little juice, like +125.
I like it.
They haven't lost back-to-back games since May. And I know they've struggled against the AL East, but Michael Wacha has been awesome. The guy looks like a Cy Young contender.
He's an all-star contender.
So he is. He should be on the all-star team. So give me the Red Sox to bounce back with just a win tonight against Russ Stripling and the Blue Jays.
Baseball Billy!
What's up, boys?
Hello.
All right, so I got a real bond burner going here. I've taken the Pirates money line at +105.
Just say it again one more time.
No.
Please.
Pirates money line, plus money line against the Nationals.
There we go.
We got Jose Quintana, who's 1-4, against Patrick Corbin, who's 3-10. So we got a couple.
3-10
Right, and an ERA above 6.
Guy's got 10 losses already?
That's a Lanny pick right there.
Holy
right.
So
I'm picking,
one,
the,
right?
picking the Pirates to beat the Nationals.
Hey,
the Buccos.
Now, I know you're not watching Pirates baseball.
Not every night.
I try. And I only know this because Aunt Liam has put it on her Facebook page. Have you seen this shortstop for the Pirates, O'Neill Cruz?
No.
6 foot
hose,
seven.
Right?
Oh my God.
Wait, 6'7"?
Listen to
the
this.
Shortstop?
He threw the foul?
Like Magnum Dom.
He threw the fastest ball this year from short to the first baseman. Keith, you have to, like, this first baseman, he had to have broken his hand. This guy is a horse. He's rounding the bases. 6'7". He is. They're calling him the Giannis of Major League Baseball.
Oh, my God. O'Neill Cruz. Yeah, look at, so he's hitting 250.
He's got one horse.
Right, he's playing that ball over to first, like, on a rope.
But the
like,
guy
like,
throws missiles over there.
Oh, God, you yeah. need to. You're like, you need. And he did one of those. It wasn't like off balance throwing it. It was one of those where he was able to gather up and set
and
himself.
Throw a dart.
It's insane.
You know who used to throw insanely hard was Rafael Furcal. He was a little guy, though, but he would throw it like 95 over to first base.
I want to
so
say.
I got to dip into this O'Neill Cruz character.
Oh, he's your kind of guy.
All right.
He's a mega athlete.
I love it.
Like, I don't know sort of the background of the dude.
He's
other
played
than
eight games.
He's they called him up because, well, they're the Buccos.
Why
and they're not?
Not
very good.
All right.
But this guy came up and apparently
he hit a dinger last night.
I'm telling you, man. He's like
the future, huh?
He's one of those fun guys to watch. 6'7" playing shortstop.
I love it. Well, it's just 6'7" playing baseball. Remember how, like, Richie Sexton would, like, stand out? You're like, look at this freak show.
Oh, my God.
It's because you don't see a lot of 6'7" guys.
What a
great Aaron
pull.
Judge is super tall. Aaron Judge is a big fella, but he doesn't play shortstop.
Wow.
That's
guy's
time.
Worth it. Everybody check it out. O'Neill Cruz. You'll be happy you did. We cruise into the lunchtime hour. Aggression. Keith will do some football with our buddy Tom E. Curran. Oh, I didn't give the number. I'm
$10
sorry.
$10 wins you $141.74.
That's a good number. Yeah. Sorry about that. I just assumed we're going to lose. O'Neill Cruz got a better chance of being successful than we do. Fair. So there we go. Curran's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.